Right now, let's bring a little sanity back into our life. It is time for us to go online, on air. Berkshire Edge.
The
BerkshireEdge.com. Of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week online, but once a week on air.
And I have something to say to both of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, what? Here they are.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
David Scribner.
Yes.
Marcy Setlow.
Yeah.
Babies, it is cold outside.
Oh, is it? Really? We haven't been out yet.
Don't go.
Oh, I wish I could. I wish I had that option.
That's right.
So do we.
What's the temperature?
It is, actually right now it got up to 19 degrees, but it was 14 earlier this morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, oh, my God, is right. I thought something was wrong with the heater.
You guys are such wusses.
I mean,
come on.
I am.
We live in New England. What do you expect?
My middle name is...
In the middle of December.
Yeah. Warmth.
My middle name is Marshall Wuss Miles. There's no doubt about it.
We're going to rename the Wimp Factory here.
I plead guilty to that charge, David.
Not to mention the fact that I'm just so sick. Bluntly, I'm really tired of my fingers just exploding.
And we haven't even started winter yet. Well,
yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Start the show.
Let's warm up here because we're talking about cold, and you guys in your first story are talking about a major meltdown. Now, you were wondering how I was going to tangle that into a lead to the story, weren't you?
Well, we're trying to, down there in the Southern Berkshire Regional School District, they're trying to keep things warm, just to continue this metaphor. But they're in a mess in this regional school district, which is just above the Connecticut border. Bordering on the Connecticut border. They've had bomb threats.
Yeah.
The school committee has taken an illegal vote, and one of the school committee members walked out of a meeting, and it's in fact resigned, or said that he resigned, but he didn't actually. And all that district is in chaos, and it's.
How did this happen?
Well, I think that one of the things that's in the background of this is that the school district itself is losing students gradually, and it's now kind of in a position where it's maybe not viable anymore, and it makes everybody very anxious. But that's not what this issue was. This issue had to do with, first of all, there was a... It was all on one day. there was a bomb threat that was called in.
After a very volatile meeting.
Morning after a very volatile school board meeting. During that meeting, as I mentioned, one of the school board members got up and walked out. So it's been really, as we say, a rough week.
Rough week
for that poor district, you know.
Well, you should know that in Connecticut, the Region 1 school district, there is turmoil in the district and has been for years, but there's lots of turmoil in this district. It's more about the basis, the way the curriculum is being presented and the grading system and things like that. And the same problem here is that, you're going through a system that used to have 700 kids at the high school. Now yeah. in the high school, there's like 355, 360 kids. And the districts around here are shrinking, and that puts added pressure on everything else.
Yeah, it does.
Because
this is just part of a longer, a conversation we've been having for a number of months, which is what structure should these regional school districts have now, and should they merge? And there's already conversations about the consolidation of the various school districts in Berkshire County. But the kind of the orphan of all of this consolidation talk is the Southern Berkshire one, which is at the very southernmost part of the county. And its likely partner would be the Berkshire Hills District, which presumably would have to decide which of the campuses they would maintain if were they to merge. But it's all very it leads to these kind of outburst of frustration, I suppose.
Well, you know, what happened here last year was that a lot of parents started showing up at the meetings, school board meetings. Around here, they don't show up unless there's, and they wanted to speak. And so, you know what the school board's response to that at one point was? To ask the state police to bring a trooper in just to stand by in case something got out of control. Now, that, you know, it's things like that raise the ire of taxpayers and parents. And then they look at a school district that looks like it's in disarray, and it raises the ire even more, so even less gets accomplished.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, and here we also had the issue of these little schools in the middle of Egremont.
Well, there was yes, that's right. The school district had, traditionally, it not only has its central campus in Sheffield, but it has actually three smaller schools in various villages. In Egremont, it has the Egremont Village School, which was basically a school for kindergarten and first grade. And then in Monterey, they had another little one-room schoolhouse for just the first couple of grades of elementary school. And in New Marlborough, they have an elementary school that goes up to fifth grade. These were little satellite operations in addition to the central elementary school in Sheffield. And these, so the argument that prompted the departure of one of the school board members was an argument over the whether or not to open and continue the Egremont Village School, which has been declared to have asbestos in its insulation, and so it's been removed now. But the question now is whether to reopen the school. But this is an old. This debate has been going on for years.
Well, it's but what's interesting about your story is people can read the story on that, but then
yeah.
You've got an additional story about what would happen if you merged school districts, and that kind of offsets what you read in the first story.
It yeah,
fills in right. A lot of the blanks.
Well, we had one of our Great Barrington. Actually, the Sharon Gregory wrote this kind of this op-ed piece about the mergers, and she has been she was at one point chairman of the Great Barrington Finance Committee, so she's very concerned about school expenditures. But you know that's true. It's a whether or not the merger these schools should merge at all, or whether they should actually consolidate in some way is a big issue, and that's what she points out. That and it's an interesting analysis of from her point of view of the of this movement to consolidate schools. And you know, the other question is whether or not there's some way in which the economy of the Berkshires can recover in some way that would attract young families back to the Berkshires rather than having it become a kind of attenuated retirement community for people.
Well, what you need is what happened in Amenia, and 50% of the people think it's good, 50% of the people think it's bad, but the Silo Ridge Project is going to bring that already the tax base is just going to skyrocket, and it's going to bring a lot of money in, and it's a lot of money in for people that are not going to overload the schools, and there's going to be money to be spent on education. There's going to be money to spend on municipal projects. There's going to be money spent on keeping the tax rates low in town just simply by people, before they even move there, just buying the property. So communities have to decide whether they want that or not.
Oh yeah, that's true.
There is no future for the community if you don't have young people with children.
Well, so. Yes, but if you make the area desirable to live in, they will come. They will come, and you've got to put the housing.
But you have to have jobs for them.
You have to have jobs and housing, but that's why you get something like Siler Ridge, which helps your municipal budget. All of a sudden, you can do things to create other jobs for people to move in to the area locally. You can get people moving to your schools. You can hire more teachers because you've got the tax dollars to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that question that you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Right.
Well,
what is that? I mean, that's the project along
Route 22.
Right. Yeah. When is that due to begin?
Well, it's already begun.
I know it's under construction.
It's under construction, but people have bought property. I mean, I think the property goes for $1 million just to buy the piece of land. And you can imagine what the taxes are.
Do you think these will be full-time residents?
No. They'll be part-time residents. It's going to be a completely self-contained community, a very wealthy community. But that wealth will transfer into tax dollars for the town. And then you spend those tax dollars wisely to try to bring more people into the town, build housing, because you're going to finally have the money. Have the money. Right. Well, anyways, that's we're all facing that situation.
And people will be shopping in Armenia as well.
Yep. Absolutely. Right. All right.
So by the way, I must say, while all of this talk about gated communities is going on, we had a late comer to our to our story lineup that I didn't put on our list, but it's a review of a book called Dope Sick, which is about the opioid epidemic that is sweeping the country, and it focuses on a community in West Virginia, and it's written by a reporter in West Virginia, and it's alarming to see. Because we in the Berkshires also suffer from this same scourge of opioid addiction, and I just recommend it as a read. This story is quite alarming, and in fact the whole epidemic is quite
alarming. Yeah. An epidemic.
I wanted to mention that while we're talking about schools and so on, we do have this issue of this epidemic that, in a way, is compromising.
Compromising families, because it's an epidemic that ranges from teenagers to grandparents. It doesn't stop whether you're black, white, red, brown, whatever. It doesn't stop whether you're 15, 20, 30, 50, 70, 80, 90. Once you're prescribed these pills and once you use them and you get hooked, it's hard to get off.
And by the way, while we're on this hopeful subject, we had another story, brief story about a meeting that the Environmental Protection Agency had. An information session it had in Pittsfield and in Great Barrington and Lenox. The Housatonic River has been, as you know, a kind of been contaminated with polychlorinated biphenyls, which PCBs, which are a carcinogen, and they came originally from the plant in Pittsfield General Electric plant in Pittsfield that manufactured its transformers. And in fact, the contamination which oozed into the river and is actually was hustled downstream all the way into Connecticut, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But the EPA has had another one of its sessions, an information session, to update people on its cleanup plan, which is, I think so far, and when it's finally completed, will cost upwards of $600 million that GE has to spend to remove the PCBs from, and the which binds to soil and sediment, remove it from the river and the river banks. And it's the question that we've had in Berkshire County is, where do you put the sludge that you've dredged, the toxic sludge, where do you put it? And one proposal is that you put it in these landfills next to the river.
Right. Yeah. It's like idiocy.
You know.
Seems rather short-sighted.
Well, and you know, people came to this information thing session, saying, you know, I can look out. I'll be able to look out my front window and see this dump. You know, so it was quite a EPA didn't have any new information to present, but people were able to sound off, and I must say the EPA is very good at collecting people's people's impressions and opinions, and they do pay attention to them. That will become part of their final solution. Is what they get from the input of the people
public.
in the public. But one of these, there was one of the speakers was a fellow named Ron Blumenthal, who happens to live in Great Barrington, and he pointed out that he's an investor, and he says that unless this contamination is successfully and appropriately removed from the Berkshires and the river, that investment in the county is not going to occur.
Yeah.
Because the land is going to be regarded as poisoned. It was quite an interesting. Not only is the environment, damaged, but the economy itself is also damaged.
And the future, so, the future economy. Well,
interesting take.
We'll stay on the environment. And this is a story when I actually saw it online. At the BerkshireEdge.com, because I've golfed up there quite a bit, which kind of amazed me. And that is the Egremont Country Club. And they want to put in a commercial solar array, and that's not going over well.
Well, the Country Club has been for sale for a number of years. And this is, I suppose, one of their ways.
It's a privately owned.
It's a privately owned.
Open to the public.
Right.
So it's not an exclusive country club. It's a golf course.
It's a golf course.
That somebody owns and allows people to come in.
Yeah. But on the other, you know, the interesting thing is that they're thinking of putting in this rather large solar array, commercial solar array. And, it's interesting how people are for sustainable energy until it's next door to them.
NIMBY.
You know?
NIMBY, not in my backyard. It's crazy.
It is, yeah.
I mean, there's a solar array just on the other side of Berkshire School.
That's right.
That I go by, and you know what? I thought, well, that's what a smart idea. I mean, it's well, anyways, if it helps keep a business alive, and it provides clean energy. And it's not in really plain sight of a huge solar array. It's not like in plain sight of another person's property. If it's done properly, I just don't know what people complain about. But I don't know what the site's going to look like, what the plan's going to look like.
Well, the thing is, first of all, this is a beautiful piece of property that you drive by on Route 23, which is the entrance to the Berkshires from, you know, when you're coming from New York.
Yeah.
It slopes up from the road so that, as you drive by, you see the whole slope up on your right. And, if they start to stagger solar arrays up this hill, you know, you won't be able to avoid looking at it. It'll be difficult to shield it from view. And, of course, one of the complainants is the owner of the B&B right across the road, because his guests will look out their windows instead of at a nice bucolic country scene. They'll be looking at a field of solar arrays. So, I think the challenge is, you know, first of all, the golf club has not, doesn't have a final plan. They're in early stages of looking at it. But I think the challenge will be to somehow put solar arrays in such a way that it's not, glaring industrial site on this beautiful road into the Berkshires.
Yeah.
I think that can be done. It can be tucked away in certain ways, or it can be landscaped in front of it.
And shielded, that's exactly right.
Shielded. But, I can understand. I mean, this is, you're driving into the Berkshires. You come across New York State from New York into South Egremont, and one of the first things you see, as you're driving into your, the beautiful country is a whole field of industrial solar arrays. So, I hope that we can do better than that. I don't think it's either or. I think it's figuring out how to do it so that the country continues to be beautiful.
All right. Now, we only have about 2 minutes left, and you've got two stories. Which story do you want to pick?
Marcy, you pick.
Well, the two stories, and one can be read. I mean, we have our reviewer, David Edwards, who took a look at the upcoming Tanglewood season. And for anyone who is interested in Tanglewood, you should read this because it's going to be an extraordinary season, and David explains why. So that's something, rather than our exploring people, I urge people to look at it. It's thebrookshireedge.com/Tanglewood2019 season.
Yeah.
So let's go on to the story of this.
Well, by the way, this is part one. He's going to do part two, the upcoming season. So,
right.
And he's quite a good writer, and his accounts are very amusing and witty. So it's a good read.
So the other story, which if we have anytime. Extraordinary athlete Aubrey Blanchard. She's a student at Monument Mountain Regional High School, and she was honored at Harvard for
her athletic achievements.
Yes, yeah. And she's both a swimmer and what else? Basketball
and soccer.
Soccer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And she was part of a group of students who were honored for their athletic achievements. So quite an honor for the school, for Monument Mountain. And by the way, by coincidence, that story, we ran that story just as the Southern Berkshire story Meltdown was running too. So it was kind of
we had a focus on schools, positive, one not.
Right.
All right. Well, those stories and a ton more at theberkshireedge.com. There you go, theberkshireedge.com.
And we'll Berkshire Edge, right.
And we'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is David and Marcy from theberkshireedge.com live on Robinhood Radio.